The title of the message this morning is, What Do You Think? You can probably guess what the message is about. It's about what we think, right? Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. As soon as you have it, say, I have it. Don't say, I got it. That's ungrammatical. I've been telling you to say, I got it all this time. Did you know that's not grammatically correct? You knew that, didn't you? I have it. Or I've had it. I've had it. Proverbs 4. Starting at verse 23. Everybody got it? Everybody have it? See, you're trainable. I knew it. Above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Today I want to talk to you a bit about the brain and about your mind. Next week we're going to start on our series of messages that lead up to Easter Sunday. I can't believe it's time to do that already, but it is. It's time to start thinking about Resurrection Day. But today I want to talk to you about your mind for just a few minutes. How many of you are glad you have one? How many of you lost yours? How do you know if you've lost it? If you've lost your mind, how do you know you lost it? Does it take a mind to know whether or not you've lost your mind? Because somebody tells you. Who was I talking to the other day? I was talking to somebody at your doctor's office, the podiatrist's office, and she said something about, I hate it when I walk into a room and I can't remember what I went there after. And I told her, I said, you're just thinking about the hereafter. Every time you walk in a room and you say, what am I hereafter? Well, now you know, because you're thinking about the hereafter. The human brain is a machine unlike any other machine that you'll ever encounter. How many of you have ever stopped to think about how amazing your mind is? Have you ever thought about how amazing your mind is, only to be embarrassed by how unamazing your mind is? I've had this problem. I was telling Seth this the other day, that I'm not very proud of my brain anymore, because it's forgetting so many things that it used to remember so well. With your brain, you have an organism that is so powerful that even the most powerful computers on earth cannot rival what your brain can do. And I know you're thinking that's not true. I've got a computer. It's the most amazing thinking box I've ever seen in my life. It can look up stuff like that. It's amazing what my computer can do. But did you know that your brain, and just through your eye gate, okay, through your ocular senses, you are able to process more than 300 bits of information through your eyes per second. Okay? I know you're not thinking that's possible, but yeah, look around you. How many colors do you see? What are you looking at right now? What are you thinking as you're looking at these things? These are all things coming in through your eye gate, and you can process 300 bits of information through your eyes for 70 years nonstop, 24 hours a day, and only use up 30% of your brain's capacity in the ocular areas only. That's a lot of input, isn't it? It really is. And then think about all the senses you have. How many senses do you have? I mean, you've got your eye sense, your hearing sense, your smelling sense, you've got nonsense. You've got all these senses, and all of these things are things you can actually get input from at the exact same time. In other words, if you look down at the page of your Bible, look down at the page of your Bible right now, and then run your finger across your Bible. Did you know right then, how many senses are you using? You're seeing, you're feeling the coolness of the page of your Bible in your finger, and if your ears are really good, you can hear your finger going across the page. You are experiencing something right now that no computer in the world can experience. It's called parallel processing. parallel processing is the ability to do several different operations at the exact same moment. Your computer can't do that. They can do one thing at a time amazingly fast, but only one thing at a time. There's no computer in the world that can do what your brain can do in the way of parallel processing. So they can make the fastest, fanciest computers on earth, and it does not have the ability to do what your mind can do. Think about that for just a minute. It's no wonder that when we read in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, that it tells us that we should not allow the world to squeeze us into its mold, but instead we should be transformed by the renewing of our what? Our mind. What's the big deal about the mind? Why is that so important? I mean, if God makes such special mention of it, there must be something really important about it. Did you know that in your Bible, the word heart is used over 800 times in your Old Testament alone? Okay? And it's only a handful of times that it actually refers to this little fist-sized organ that sits in the middle of your chest. How many think your heart's over here? You know, that's why you put your hand over your heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance. No, your heart's right here. I can tell you this because I've taken resuscitation courses. I used to be a first responder. And when you want to do compressions in the heart, you look at this little cleft underneath your ribs here called the xiphoid process. And you go up 3 inches from that and you do your compressions right there because that's exactly where your heart is. Only a handful of times does your Old Testament use the word heart to describe that organ. The rest of the time it's used to describe what? What lies between your eyebrows and your hairline. Okay? So here we find the word heart actually meaning what is up here. It's your mind, the seat of your emotions, the seat of your reasoning. And Solomon says, in what we just read here in Proverbs chapter 4, is that the heart is the mind of a person. And in other words, your heart is the center of what you think. It's the center of what you feel in your emotions. And he's telling us that we should be very careful about what is in our heart. Read those verses again if you want. Solomon says, my son, guard your mind with diligence because from your mind flows all the things of life. So how important do you think your mind is to God? It's extremely important. It's extremely important. And I don't think that the average human being that grows up in America is brought up with a good idea about how to maintain their mind. You're taught how to brush your teeth. Right? 10 strokes over every tooth. At least twice a day. You're taught how to comb your hair. You're taught how to brush your teeth. You're taught how to take care of your fingernails. But how many of your moms and dads brought you up and said, I want to teach you how to maintain mental health. I'm going to teach you how to think in good thought habits. Did any of your parents do that? Anybody? Mine didn't. But if your mind is that important, don't you think there should be something that can be said about how to maintain it? Well, that's what we got the Bible for. That's what the Word of God is there for. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, what do you think? And point number one, I want to talk to you about the majesty of the mind. The word majesty occurred to me as I was writing this because in creating this sermon, I'm thinking about the sense that we have, this organ that we have, this thing that we've got in our mind that is the king of all other things in our minds, in our bodies and everything. Did you know that everything that happens in your body is directed by what's up here? Okay? What you're feeling right now actually comes from up here. You may think it comes from here. Yeah, it enters through here, but it's processed up here. What you're seeing right now goes through your head. What you're hearing right now goes through your mind. All of it. Very simply, there is no machine, there is no computer anywhere on earth that's like what your brain is. Nothing can compare to what God has done when He created your brain. And likewise, your mind. The mind is majestic because the mind controls absolutely everything in your body. Did you know that if your heart is beating on time in the middle of your chest right here, it's because your brain is showing it how to do it. Your lungs work because of your brain. Your heart works because of your brain. Your sensory organs all work because of this. And Solomon tells his readers here, guard your mind because your mind is like a wellspring of water, and from it flows all the issues of your life. Solomon was known as the wisest man ever. Okay, that's saying a lot. Known as the wisest man ever, and he said you have to understand that your thoughts will control your life. So if you can learn how to control your thoughts, don't you think it makes sense that if we can master what's going on up here, that we can also have control over what goes on out here? Does that make sense? We get control of what we think, then we get control of what we do. Makes sense to me. Psalm 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think, you are. Used to be a TV show on, radio show maybe, some years ago, my grandma used to talk about it all the time, called You Are What You Eat. I believe you are what you think. What goes on up here determines what we think we are and what we are. Our thoughts are going to control the attitudes that we carry through life, and our attitudes determine our actions. And I want you to remember this. If you don't remember another thing I say this morning, remember this. Attitudes control actions. You hear what I just said? Attitudes control actions, or if you want to get fancier about it, attitudes determine action. What you do is determined by what you think. What you think determines what your attitudes are. An attitude is nothing more, ladies and gentlemen, than a habit of mind. You've got habits. Everybody got habits? You have some you'd like to break? Well, if you can break a habit that you do with your hands, we should also be able to break habits that we do with our brains. Remember this. Attitudes determine actions. When we act in love, we act in love because our thoughts are giving us loving thoughts. Our brain says love, and so we act love. If we act in hate, why do we do it? Because we have hateful thoughts. When we act in kindness, why do we do it? Because we have kind thoughts. Does that make sense to you? Somebody a lot wiser than I said, plant a thought, reap an action. Plant an action, reap a habit. Plant a habit, reap a character. Plant a character, reap a destiny. So, A follows, is followed by B, and B is followed by C, and that's followed by D. What our thoughts will determine, ultimately, what our destiny is. Do you know where God starts making changes in your life? If God sees something in you He wants to change, where does He start the process? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want the good and acceptable and perfect will of God to be done in your life? It has to start here. You start upstairs. Does that make sense to you? Okay. When God has His way in your heart, He renews us. He renews your heart. The first thing He changes, the first thing that He wants to transform, is your mind. How many of you would say, without fail, there are negative thoughts across my mind on a daily basis? Negative thoughts. Why do you think they're there? Why do you have these negative thoughts? Do you think it's because your brain's like a fortune cookie? You open the fortune cookie, and what do you have? Some silly little saying. I got one time that said, still hungry? Eat more Chinese food. Life-changing. Life-changing stuff. The Lord gives us new thoughts. If we give Him control of our minds, He gives us new thoughts. And if He gives you new thoughts, He creates new attitudes. If He creates new attitudes, He creates new actions. And through creating new actions, He creates new habits. And if He can create all of those, He will do what? He will create in you a new destiny. He can change your life. Your mind governs that reigns over every area of your life. That's why I call it the majesty of the mind. It is your mind that rules. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Let's talk about mastering the mind. If the mind is so amazing, then the question that I have to ask is, how can I gain mastery over it? How can I gain mastery over my mind? How can I learn to control it? And I should learn to control it. Because if I don't control my mind will control me. Correct? Martin Luther one time said, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Martin Luther. I didn't make it up. He said it. Okay? What does that mean? You're going to have thoughts out there, but you don't have to let them take root and make a nest in your head. Make sense? We need to think pure thoughts. If I want a pure action in my life, what do I have to have first? A pure thought. Does that make sense to you? Time is time is time is time. It's time that we take off the mask that many of us wear and start being honest with the Lord. What am I talking about? The first step for being honest with God about what's really going on up here and in here is to ask a very simple question. And the question is, what am I allowing, what am I permitting into my mind? Your mind is bombarded by positive and negative messages every single day. There's positive and negative messages that you're being bombarded with. I was asking somebody this question just not too long ago. Did you know how many hours of television your average high school senior has watched by the time they graduate from high school? 14,000 hours. 14,000 hours of television they have watched between the time they started watching TV and they graduate from high school. Okay? Your average church-going senior who graduates from high school has heard how many hours of sermons and Sunday school lessons? 3,000 on average. So if you're getting 14,000 hours of what the boob tube can throw at you and 3,000 hours of lessons between your Sunday school teacher and your pastor, which has the greatest impact in your mind? Which has the greatest possibility of impacting your mind? What you see on television or what you hear in church? Well, let me see. Which is greater, 14,000 or 3,000? Folks, there's a reason why Kurt Loder, who used to be one of the big movers and shakers in MTV, said, we don't influence your children, we own them. How many of you let your kids watch MTV? They own your child. How do they own them? By bombarding them with the messages they want them to hear. How do we get rid of that? Solomon said in Proverbs 6:27, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can you do that? No. Folks, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. I joke with Seth once in a while, you know, he'll mess around with me, and I'll say, hey, if you mess with a bull, you get the horns. Folks, if you play with fire in your thoughts, what do you get? The prince of the powers of the air that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6 is going to do all that he can to fill your mind with garbage. Do you know why? Because if he can win the war on your mind, he wins the war for your heart and your actions. Not that long ago, folks, our country held a belief in a supreme and complete deity. This belief caused us to restrain our passions. It caused us to act responsibly. But now that this country no longer believes in a supreme deity, the restraints on our passions has been released. the restraints on our actions has been released. We no longer feel the need to act responsibly. Why? Because our country has become an atheist country. We're not a Christian country anymore. In case you missed it, why do you think they want to take the Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms in our country? Because it causes the emotional conflict in the hearts and minds of all the lawyers who are all crooks, and when they hear about how you shouldn't murder and steal, it creates conflict in their mind. That's my theory. But the truth is, the country just doesn't want to be told that there's things that are right and there's things that are wrong, because everybody wants to believe that what's right is right as far as they're concerned. And what's right for them might be different than what's right for you. And everybody should have their own set of morals, and everybody should have their own set of do's and don'ts, because what's good for me may not be good for you. So therefore, you do your thing, I do my thing. And if you ever watched the movie The Lion King, that's the philosophy on the movie. Thank you very much. What's it called? Hakuna Matata. You do your thing, I'll do my thing, and everything works out. And how young are the kids that watch The Lion King? If he can change your thoughts, he can change your actions. And if he can change your actions, he can change your goals, and he can ultimately change the trajectory of your life. And Satan wants your mind. He'll get what he has always wanted in your life. That's the destruction of your marriages, the destruction of your homes, the destruction of your lives, the destruction of your children, the destruction of your teenagers. And that's where we start. So we have to ask ourselves the question, how can I protect my mind from thinking what I shouldn't think? The Apostle Paul says that we should learn how to take every single thought captive. Easier said than done. Amen? That was an amen given by a bunch of people that are having a hard time with the process. And you can tell because they didn't go, amen! They said, amen. Did you know that God has designed your brain and your mind in such a way that it cannot truly be occupied with two things at once? How many of you honestly believe you're good multitaskers? You're lying to yourself. You're trying to make yourself feel good about the fact you've got 1,000 projects in your house and none of them have ever been done. But I'm a good parallel processor. Yeah, you may be that, but you're not a very good multitasker. You truly can only do one thing with your mind at a time, even though your senses may be able to collect all these things at a time. Well, there's a reason why in God's Word He says that our heart, okay, is evidenced by what we say, and what we mind influences our heart. Romans 12:2, one more time. Be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. And how was your mind transformed? By rejecting the vain philosophies that the world throws at you and replacing those evil things with what's good. You've got to get rid of the garbage and start putting good stuff in. John Wesley one time said that every believer should be a man or a woman of one book. You know what that book is? The Bible. Some of you might say, oh, isn't that wonderful? How boring. If I should be a man or a woman of one book, that sounds kind of boring to me. Does that sound boring to you? I know you're saying no because I'm in church, and if I say yes, people are going to think there's something wrong with me. And everybody's got to think that I'm just so perfect. I don't even squeak when I get wet feet. I don't know how boring it would be to you folks, but if you let the teachings of the Bible in, they can fill you with real joy. How boring is joy? if you let the teachings of the Word in, He will fill you not just with joy, He gives you peace in your heart. How boring is peace? There is an emotional disturbance very popular in our world today. It's a disturbance where people will create turmoil all around them because it gives them the ability to control circumstances. It's a control thing. And that's how they get their tranquility, is by creating upset around them. That's not God's desire for you. That's not God's best for you. He wants you to have peace. How many of you right now would say, I have got peace like a river? I'm so full of peace, I'm boring. No. Most of you would say, I got problems, and they're robbing me of my peace. God's Word says that if we're lacking peace, that we should come to God and pray without worry. And if we do that, God will fill us with peace that passes all human understanding. That's something that He has available for you and me. There's joy, and there's hope, and there's peace in a heart and mind that is full of Him. How would you get rid of the evil stuff? By replacing it with good stuff. My wife thinks it's odd that when nudity or something comes on TV, I look in the other direction. You know why I do that? Because I don't want my mind being filled with garbage. There's a reason why I don't listen to Slipknot or the Insane Clown Posse or Slayer or Metal Church or Venom, heavy metal bands. You know why I don't listen to them? Oh, I know you're all thinking, well, that's way out there. I wouldn't listen to them either. Okay, maybe you wouldn't, but what do you watch on television? How many of you think that Oprah Winfrey is the ultimate? Oh, she's wonderful. Or any of those guys on TV that are there designed to shape your mind and your thinking. Oh, I don't listen to them. I listen to Deepak Chopra. He makes me feel much better. Folks, there's all kinds of things out there that are designed to shape your mind and transform it into the way the world wants it to be. How do we get rid of it? By filling it with the good stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go a single day without taking this into your mind, you are walking away from God that day because you're saying, I don't need this. Folks, if you don't let this transform your mind, I can guarantee you there's somebody there who will. Who is that? It's the enemy. The adversary. Satan. He wants your mind. Let's talk about ministry of the mind. What would happen in my life if I allowed God's Word to be the master of my mind? Well, the answer is very simply that if I allow the Word of God to master my mind, my mind will begin to function in a specific way. And if my mind begins to function in a specific way that the Word of God tells me that it wants my mind to function, what's happening up here? Good stuff. Because God will never try to fill your mind with anything that's negative or destructive. The first function that the Lord will perform in my life is that He will start to govern what I speak. Look at verse 24 in our scripture. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. When I fill my mind with God's Word, it begins to change the way I talk. Now, how do you say that would be a good thing? It would. It would be a good thing. If there is love in my mind, what will my words be? Loving words. Make sense? If there is hate in my mind, what will my words be? Condemnation, judgmentalism, and hate. If there's bitterness in my mind, what will come out of my mouth? Bitterness. That's why Paul says, don't let bitterness take root in your body, because it will spread through your body like a cancer. Folks, this is not rocket surgery. I'm trying to put, you know, rocket science and brain surgery in one saying here. This isn't. It's very simple. You want your brain to do good things? Fill it with good stuff. You want your brain to do bad things? Fill it with bad stuff. You want bad words to come out of your mouth? Well, just keep watching the same old TV shows you're watching. Did you know that the average high school senior, by the time he graduates from high school, has watched over 11,000 murders on television? Why are there kids today that feel no conscience whatsoever about going to school with a gun and killing somebody so they can get their sneakers? Because they've been so desensitized to murder that it makes no difference to them. What has happened? What's happened? We have allowed our televisions to raise our kids. You see, folks, it's very simple. If you want to know what's in somebody's heart, listen to what they say. If their words are full of negativity, what does that mean in their heart? If their words are full of love and encouragement, what's in their heart? People might fool you some of the time, but eventually what's in their heart, in their mind, will make its way out of their mouth. True that, word. Is this not true? How many of you remember me talking about a little boy named Danny? Little Danny came to church. My pastor asked me if I would start a children's church program. We started with 13 kids. And this was basically a babysitting program because mom and dad were so fed up with the way the kids were acting in church. They said, we got to do something with these kids. Pastor says, Jay, I want you to start a children's church program. We started with 13 kids. Inside of a year, we were running over 50. But this one little kid, this angelic-looking little blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid, you look at him and think he belongs on, you know, a cereal box or something, because he's such a precious-looking boy. But little Danny had a problem. You know what the problem was? That kid could peel wallpaper with his mouth. I don't mean with his teeth. This kid could swear like a sailor and a drunk one. And I told him, I said, look, man, you're going to have to stop talking like that. I don't want to hear those words coming out of your mouth. And if you talk like this anymore, I'm going to have to go talk to your mom. Little Danny lived with his mom. Broken marriage. Okay, Pastor Jay, I promise I'll do better. Until the next time somebody picked on him in children's church. And little Danny pretty much peeled this kid's skin off with his mouth. That's it, Danny. So I had to talk to your mom. So I took one of my deacons, his name was Tom. Tom and I went and visited. And we knocked on his door. And his mom answered, oh, well, hi, Pastor Jay. How are you doing? We're just fine. Can we come and talk a minute? Sure, come on in. Want some coffee? Well, no, thank you. I appreciate the offer. What's the purpose of your visit? Well, we need to talk to you about Danny. Danny's got a problem with profanity. What do you mean? Well, he's been saying some bad words. Well, what kinds of words? Well, I really don't want to repeat them. But we need to see what we can do to get mastery over this. And she got angry. And she yelled through the door of the house, and what do you think she said? Danny, get your blankety-blankety-blank little blankety-blank out here and apologize to these men. And if I ever hear you using language like that again, I'm going to blankety-blankety-blankety-blank. Where do you think he got his blankety-blank from? If the Lord wants to change the way we speak, where is he going to start changing first? He has to start here. Eventually, folks, what's in their heart and their mind is going to come out of their mouth. Guess what came out of little Danny's mouth? Exactly what had been planted in his heart and in his mind. You get it, folks? Are you getting the idea that when I tell the message, what do you think? There's a point behind it. Ladies and gents, how many of you would say that your thinking is just as positive and pure as what would the Apostle Paul and Jesus himself think? Are there positive thoughts that come out of your mind? Positive words that come out of your mouth? Can we have praising and cursing that comes from the same pair of lips? Not according to what we read in our Bibles. You can't have blessing and cursing coming from the same mouth. You see, the first ministry of a mind that's in the hands of God's Word is the ministry of the mouth. But there's a second one. That's the ministry of the eyes. Okay? Look at verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. What determines, do you think, what our eyes take joy in looking at? You see, what's up here between the eyebrow and the hairline determines what we say, but it also determines what we get joy in looking at. We need to make a pact with our eyes. Lord, I will only look on things that please you. And when that dirty scene comes on TV, what should we do? Oh, I got you on this one. I got you on this one. When that dirty scene comes on the television, what should you do? Oh, not even that. You should not watch that stupid show that has the dirty stuff. Don't think, okay, that's a bad scene. I'm not going to watch that today and then turn it on next week at the same bad time, same bad channel, and hope the stuff is different. What do you think is the business that has gained the most amount of money since the popularization of the interweb? The one business that took off and gained the most amount of money was the pornography industry. Why? Because what you used to have to embarrass yourself to get, by going to the counter and saying, I want one of those magazines, or going to one of those stores that has a fence line across the front so you can't tell who's parked out back. What you used to have to go and embarrass yourself to get, you can get now for free and instantaneously. If your eye offends you like that, it's best to throw away your computer. Well, that sounds awful harsh. I spent good money on that computer. Well, good. Then let that stuff into your eyes and let it poison your heart because you don't want to waste $200. We need to make a pact with our eyes. Lord, I will only look on the things that please you. So what are the things that you think? Okay, Solomon thought it would be a good idea. What he said, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So I've got a homework assignment for you this week. Okay? And that homework assignment is that every day when you turn on the radio, say, what is that music trying to communicate to me? And when you turn on the television, say, what is the show I'm watching trying to communicate to me? What are the values that it's dumping into my brain? If our minds are a vacuum, which they are to an extent, and I don't mean a vacuum cleaner, a vacuum is a space where there is no air. And when you break a vacuum, everything that's around it comes rushing in. Okay? And that's the way a lot of brains are. They're like vacuums. They will just latch onto everything they can find. If our minds are willing to accept anything in to fill empty space, then we should be very careful about what we gather around our minds that our mind absorbs. Does that make sense to you? Makes sense to me. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. What do you think? Well, what you think is determined by what you allow in. Are your thoughts critical? Negative? Harmful? It's because we've allowed negative, critical, and harmful things to surround us. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Your homework assignment? I want you to practice. This week, when you have a positive thought, I want you to think, where did that come from? When you have a negative thought, ask yourself, where did that come from? Okay? Start interrogating your thoughts and fill your mind with this. Part of your homework assignment is that if you're not in the habit of reading your Bible every day, to start this week. Start it. Pull out your Bible and just read it for 5 minutes. If that's all the time you can give it first thing, that's a good place to start. Just give it 5 minutes. You're starting your day then with something positive. Okay? And don't let the negative thoughts take root. Will you do that? How about you say, I haven't been reading my Bible on a daily basis, but I've covenanted today that I'm going to start. I'm going to start this week. Anybody? Okay, good. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, our prayer is that you would get control of our mind. Lord, help us because we have allowed negative things in. Dear God, help us by transforming our mind through your word. Lord, the world will want to transform us and squeeze us into its mood. But you, God, have a way that's better. You have a way that's a pathway of peace and joy. Lord, help us to hook into that pipeline. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it transforms us. Now, dear God, help us to keep that commitment, to read your word and to take it into our hearts. And so, Lord, get control of what comes into our minds because it controls what we say and what we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray.